Someone came over to me in the Beis Medrash yesterday and asked me about making Turkish coffee on Shabbos. I wrote an article a couple of years ago about making coffee on Shabbos, and I thought I discovered every single way a person might want to make coffee, but I had never heard of Turkish coffee. So this is a different type of coffee that needs its own discussion about whether you're allowed to make it on Shabbos. How does one make Turkish coffee? Show of hands, anyone ever have Turkish coffee? Okay, some of you. So how does one make Turkish coffee? Apparently you take the coffee beans and you grind them up really, really finely, almost like a flour, and then flour, and then you take hot water, you take water, you pour it in this special kli, and you heat it on a stovetop. That you definitely can't do on Shabbos, but before it comes to a boil, you have it mixed with the ground up coffee, and it foams at the top, and then you start pouring it out into the cups. And when you pour it out into the cups, what will stay at the bottom of the kli is like a mud that stays at the bottom of the kli that's made from the mixture of this ground up flour type of coffee and the water. So you pour out the liquidy, foamy part. It's much thicker than regular coffee, and it stays as a mud at the bottom. So is there a way to make this on Shabbos? So obviously you wouldn't be able to turn on any fires or anything like that. You can't put anything on the stovetop on Shabbos. What about just taking water from the urn? So you have hot water. It's just below a boiling point, and still going through all the rest of the process as normal. So there are two issues that have to be discussed. The first issue is Bishul, and from a Bishul perspective, it's not all that complicated to get around it. It's not all that dissimilar from pour-over coffee, which we've discussed at some point, which basically from Bishul perspective, the following is the case. The metzius is that all coffee beans are roasted. They're all roasted before they're ever ground up, so it means that they've gone through some sort of Bishul process. Rav Vadya Yosef in Yabia Omer or Chaim Chelek Ches Simulam and Hay writes that roasted coffee beans are considered to be already edible, meaning it's like it's Mavushal Kol Tzarcho, and that's the sheet of the Ginas Radim and Rav Yaakov Endenemar and in the Chasam Sofer and Orachayim Simenayin Dalit as well, that once you roast the beans, they're considered to be fully cooked, they're considered to be fully edible. However, the Prima Gadim in Eshel Avram in Reish Nun Gimel Sivkat Mem Aleph says that even though coffee beans are roasted, they're not fully edible, and therefore they're not considered to be Mevushal Kol Tzarcho. So any further cooking of them is going to be real Bishul Mida Oraisa. So if we assume, like those Poskim that say, that it is fully roasted, that it's fully cooked when the beans are already roasted, so maybe we can say that you don't have to worry about Bishul by pouring hot water directly onto these beans, because ain't Bishul achar Bishul. So if you accept that they're edible, so there's basis to be makel to brew coffee on Shabbos, because ain't Bishul achar Bishul. However, that might not apply to ground coffee, because there is the shita of Reb Lezer Mimitz, who says that yesh Bishul achar afia, that even though there's no violation of Bishul once something has been cooked, but once something has been roasted, to then cook it in a liquid is a different type of cooking. It has a different it's a different type of food preparation, and therefore would be usser, and that would apply to coffee beans, because coffee beans are roasted and then you brew them with water, so that's Bishul achar afia or Bishul achar tzli. So the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yur Chesif Hei, is mekil that ain Bishul achar afia, that there would be no problem of Bishul achar, whereas the Ramah holds that yesh bishul acharafia, that we should be more machmir and assume that there is a problem of bishul acharafia. So Rav Avadya Yosef writes, therefore a Svardi person can take water straight from a kli rishon and pour it over roasted coffee beans, and that is not a problem of bishul whatsoever, whereas an Ashkenazi can only pour from a kli sheni and not from a kli rishon, which is really not that hard to do. You pour the water from the urn into a cup and then pour that over the beans, and then you solve the problem. So then you have Yirei Klisheni, which doesn't have the koach to be mevashal anyway. However, the Aruch HaShulchan and Shin Yud Chesiv Chav Ches asr is making coffee on Shabbos even in a kli shlishi, and that seems to be the sheet of the Mishnah Berurah and Shin Yud Chesiv Katan Lamites as well, probably because they don't consider the beans to be fully cooked, or and therefore they also view it to be kalei abishal, therefore even in a kli shlishi it's going to be easily cooked. Rav Moshe holds that once you're in a kli shlishi it doesn't have the ability to be mevashal anything, only things that are kalei abishal are only get cooked in a kli sheni, so kli shlishi would solve all your problems according to Rav Moshe. So according to most poskim, l'chora, it would seem that if you make your Turkish coffee in a kli shlishi, you've solved all of your bishul problems, right? So you've taken care of bishul problems. So good. I mean, even if you're going to be machmir, that yesh bishul achetzli, but the Mishnah Berurah says you don't have to be machmir for that when it comes to a kli shlishi. So let's assume that the bishul problem is not a problem. But someone raised a question to me that I don't really know the answer to, and that is, why isn't it an iser lisha when you look at the descriptions of Turkish coffee online? They say you pour out the coffee, and what you're left with at the bottom is the mud that remains from the mixture of the coffee, the ground up flour, and the water. So how does the Isra Lisha happen? So there are two steps in kneading, in the kneading process in general. The first step is accomplished by pouring a liquid over small food particles that cause some sort of bonding immediately. Like you take flour and you pour water directly over the flour even before you start mixing it together, there's some bonding of the particles of flour immediately. Then the second step is the actual kneading of the ingredients. So the Gemara in Shabbos on Kufnun Hay and Beis quotes a machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, where Shitas Rebbe is that if you pour water into a bowl of flour, you violate Lisha even if you don't mix it. So the Eglei Tal explains that according to that view, the actual mixing of the mixture is the Isalisha, not the subsequent kneading. Just the fact that, you know, water has been introduced to flour and not the actual kneading. So the exception to the rule would be the following, that since the logic of the Isser is that there's binding that takes place immediately, so with a coagulated substance like mayonnaise, only the actual kneading and the mixing would violate Lush. That's what the Prima Gadim writes, because there's no mixing that happens right when you lump the mayonnaise onto the tuna fin, nothing, or the egg salad, nothing happens yet until you actually mix it. The Shita, though, of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, is that Einu Chayiv Ad Sheyegabel, that you're only going to be Chayiv when you actually actively knead. So the Tal explains that he doesn't view the initial combining of the ingredients as Lisha, only manual kneading is considered to be Lisha. So La Halacha, the Rif, the Rabbi, and the Rush, Paskin like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that it's only Asur Midrabanan to pour the water without mixing it, but the Isur Daoraisa is when you actually need it. Whereas the Arayim and the Sefer Truma and the Smak hold like Rabbi. In Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Haim, Sim Shin Chafal, Sifte Zayin, Shulchan Aruch Paskin's like Rabbi Yosef, but he also quotes the opinion of Rabbi as a Yesh Omrim as well. Either way, it's going to be a problem, because even if it's not Asur Midaraisa to pour the liquid, to just introduce the liquid into the granules, it's an iser midrabanan to introduce the liquid into the flour. And that's why many of the contemporary poskim say that if a child is playing in a sandbox, that they can't pour water onto sand. The Rambam in the 8th paragraph of Shabbos, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Yuches, says that kneading water and dirt is aser midoraisa as a tolda of lush. And based on that, that's why the Shemir Shabbos Kilchsa in Perek Tezayin Ozdalit and the Rav Simcha ben Konan, Children of and Rabbi Ribiyad in the Lamentas Malachos book all say when their children are playing in a sandbox, they have to be careful. Not, you shouldn't allow them to pour the water onto the sand. So where does that leave us? Meaning, if this seems like a very similar kind of thing, that you pour the coffee. So when you have a pour over coffee, also you end up with soaking wet granules where they become very clumpy. So why is that not an iser of Lisha? So I happened to run into Rabbi Bleich earlier today, and I asked him what he thought, and he said that he doesn't think. He thinks when you pick up the granules of coffee, let's say from a filter where you do a pour over coffee, they're still granules. They're not. They're wet and they're somewhat, but they fall apart in your hands and they're still very granular. As opposed to sand, it becomes a mud. And when sand becomes a mud, it becomes a dover gush. It becomes a gush echad, and it becomes more problematic. So first of all, not sure. Not sure that's the case. As Rabbi Bleich himself said, not sure. Meaning I caught him in the coffee room, but Rav Asher Weiss has a thing about Piskei Halacha that are from the Cheder HaMadrigot. You know that you run into a posik in the stairwell and you fire questions at him. He says those Piskei Halacha are not reliable. The posik didn't think about it. You caught him off guard. You didn't. So Bleich wasn't sure about the svara, but particularly with Turkish coffee, my understanding is that it's worse. That even if that svara is true with a pour over coffee, where it's like ground up coffee granules. When it comes to the Turkish coffee, the way I saw it, at least when I was watching videos of how to make Turkish coffee earlier this morning, it seems that they grind it into like a powder. It's much more like flour, where it really does become a gush echad. It really becomes what can accurately be described as a mud. So I'll leave that as a kasha. I don't know why it wouldn't be a violation of lush to make Turkish coffee on Shabbos, even if one can easily avoid the violations of bishul. Everyone have a great day.